Hello and welcome to the Creatives podcast. My name is Beryl, and yeah, that's right. Just like the gemstone, Beryl. Well, today is the first episode of our podcast for creative types, those who create and support creative endeavors. Today we are talking to a playwright and poet by the name of Lola. Now, I've known Lola for a while, living in Brooklyn in the Fort Greene, Clinton Hill area. And Lola is a playwright and a poet. But I'd like her to tell you and us a little bit more about what she is doing, how long she has been doing it. Hi, Lola. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good. I'm glad you were able to make it. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about we're at the Brick Media House, downtown Brooklyn, and we're in the podcast studio. So, Lola, please tell the audience a little bit about what you do and how long have you been doing it?
Okay, well, before I could write, I was rhyming, and that's how I got the name Lola. My aunts named me Lola, and they used to make up rhymes for my name and for my character. And since I was a little girl, I've been writing stories. I used to go to South in the summer. So because I was on a farm and there wasn't a lot of children around to play with, I would make up stories about the farm, about farm life. And then later on in my 20s, I just started making up little skits and writing them for gatherings and get-togethers for friends, for weddings, and for different occasions. When I was in my mid-20s, I went through a lot of emotional turmoil because of relationships and breakups and things like that. And through the sadness, the poetry just started like pouring out of me. So I found myself writing poetry. Maybe 7-8 poems would just come to me as a emotional release. And from there, I was at work, actually, and I was printing off some of the poems I had written. And my coworker, being nosy, she saw some of the poems on the printer. But it turned out to be a good thing, her nosiness, because she thought I had gotten the poems from somewhere else, and she asked me where I had gotten them from. And anyway, she encouraged me to make them into a book. My father took me to Manhattan to meet a local poet and author. And then I wrote my first book.
What was the name of your first book?
The first book was called Poems for Us All.
And can we still get a copy of it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let us know where.
Okay. Somethingforus.com. We'll have the...
Okay, great.
We'll have all the books.
Okay.
And from there, I just kept writing. And being a poet, I just want to say, is not an easy road. It's not very lucrative. And I was told that by people in the publishing industry. And unless you're like a famous person, or if you're doing a novel or something, or a music person.
Writing lyrics.
Yeah, doing lyrics. Poetry per se is not very lucrative. A lot of people are not really into reading poetry. And so I still loved it, but at times I felt deflated. I felt kind of discouraged. It was kind of difficult to keep up with it. And one day I decided I was going to stop writing. And I was in the business library on Tillery. And there was a group called Poets Under Glass, and I decided to join them. And I was the youngest person at 40, and the only black person in the class. But I said, oh, well, hey, you know, I'm going to stick with this. Mm-hmm. So I did, and it turned out to be a really good thing for me because my writing went into a more imaginative area.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just a whole new way of writing for me, very more illustrative. And so from there, I wrote my next book, which was In Love with Mom, and I decided to turn that book in 2008 into a play.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had a director come work with me. He's assistant film director. And he worked with me in developing the play. We actually had the opportunity.
What was his name?
His name is Curtis Smith.
Okay.
And we had the opportunity to perform the play at the West Bank Cafe on 42nd Street.
Right.
The Laurie Beachman Theater is called.
Okay.
At the Kumble Theater out of LIU. At the Jalopy Theater, IRT Theater, and Christopher Street in the Village, at Two Steps Down, and many local, little restaurants and theaters. We had the opportunity. We did In Love with Mom for 2 years, and
wow.
it was well received by lots of different diverse people.
Right. How long was the play in terms of time?
The play ran for 1 hour.
Okay.
Yeah, and it had, seven characters.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seven characters.
That sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
So in your process of creating either poetry or a play, could you tell us a little bit more about your process? Like, do you use pen and paper, the computer, notebooks? How do you write?
Okay. Well, I start off with the pen and paper because I'm still a pen and paper girl.
Mm-hmm.
And computer is kind of new to me. I used to use the typewriter, the electric typewriter, and I've recently gotten into using the computer. Of course, the computer is a great help because you can edit and, you can save everything. So I do record everything on the computer eventually, but I start out with the pen and the paper.
Mm-hmm. Why is poetry important?
Oh, boy, I think it's so important because poetry, as they say, is writing pictures with words.
Nice.
And poetry, well, for me, it's like therapy. It's very personal for me. It documents my life. It could turn something negative into a positive. So it is very emotional and therapeutic for me personally. But in general, poetry is very imaginative. It's just beautiful. It's creative and it's beautiful. I love poetry.
And where do you usually write?
Where? Like...
In your home.
Oh, okay. The location. Mm-hmm. Usually at my home. But I could be en route. I could be traveling. I could be walking through a park, which has happened.
Mm-hmm.
I could be sitting in a doctor's office waiting for an appointment, to be called for an appointment.
Right.
I could be anywhere and I write. I could be falling asleep. I could be on the subway. So I don't have like a particular location because you get inspired, as you're traveling.
Right.
Yeah.
What is the most difficult part of your artistic process?
I think I write pretty easily. I think the most difficult part, I would say, is staying motivated and positive and just continuing to do it. Because all my work so far, I've produced them pretty much on my own. I've taken a large part in making them come to life, making them happen. And so for me to just fund everything and stay in the game and just keep myself going, I think that would be the most challenging part for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you believe in writer's block?
Yes, I do believe in writer's block. I think I've had it, but I believe it just came because I didn't feel that the work was being appreciated, or I may have felt like, well, why bother? What's the use of continuing with it? It's not really generating a big income or anything like that. So I think that I block myself because of external things. I don't think I really felt blocked within myself.
Mm-hmm. And what would you do if you did feel you had a mm-hmm. writer's block? What have you done?
Well, when I felt it, I just took a break.
Okay.
I just stepped away. I took a break, and I didn't write for a while. But then I would come back to it because mm-hmm. it's like I can't really stay away
right.
too long.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So in terms of writing, what do you like to write the best? Plays, poetry, short stories?
I think it's stories.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
Because it's like the characters. Even on my way here today, I was thinking about the characters. Like, I'm writing about two girls named Dee Dee and Debbie. And I was thinking about what Dee Dee would say and if she got a rep as being a bad person, but is she really a bad person? And I don't know. I was just thinking about her on my way right. walking here. And so the characters, they, for the time that you are involved with them, they're like your family or your
right.
friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I like doing the story.
How do you come up with the name Debbie and Dee Dee?
I don't know. I was just like, I wanted these characters that were besties. They're best friends. They grew up together. They live in New Brooklyn housing. And I wanted something to make them kind of like twins because mm-hmm. they're opposites. Their personalities are not alike. Their career goals are not alike. Their relationship situations are not alike. So I said, well, Debbie and Dee Dee.
Right.
Kind of rhymes, kind of, you know, goes together. So I just came up. And they're short names.
Right.
Yeah,
easy to remember.
Yeah.
Well, the last time we had seen each other, we had spoke about what you're currently working on,
mm-hmm.
which is a play. And if you'd be so kind as to let us know what it is you're working on, how you met the person that you're involved with, this is a collaboration. And what else? And tell us a little bit about the process in working with someone else and it being a collaboration.
Okay, sure. Well, the person that I'm working with, well, actually, I'm not really working with her, but she has graciously allowed me to use some of her material. She's also a poet, and we have met through mutual contacts and at different events, and I invited her to come to some of my events, and I featured her, and she saw a book that I published, and she was inspired and encouraged to do her own publication, and when she finished the production of it, she just had so much work. She has like hundreds of poems inside of this book. And I love the way she writes. I love her style. And I feel kindred to it. It's like kind of similar to some of the things that I write and the way that I write. So I fell in love with a few of the poems, and I wrote a play based on 11 pieces of poetry in her book, and the play is called Old Fashioned Girl. And she's been very supportive, very free with, you know, letting me use her work. She's standing to the side. You know, she said, this is not my production, this is your production. And she's just giving me free range. And the two characters, Debbie and Dee Dee, are based on the poetry in this book, Spoken Word by Cindy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what has been the hardest part of producing this play?
Well, right now, I'm just trying to, you know, fund it, get funding. And we're doing rehearsals. We're going to do the third rehearsal this week. And I've always I've had the opportunity to use a couple of professional people in the past, but majority of the times, it's been non-professional people. It's just maybe they're poets themselves, or maybe they're just novices. They're just people that I find in the community, at work. I've right. used people from my job, from different places, you know, just people. And I ask them, well, would you like to be in a play? And so rehearsing them, you know, working with them, trying to get them to remember the lines and remember the material, that's, like, really challenging. But I will say that they have, you know, they have risen to the task, to the challenge.
Nice, nice, nice. So at what point, or do you know when you'll be ready to go into full production of the play, and where will it be?
Yes. I've already spoken with Art New York on South Oxford, right?
Uh-huh.
South Oxford,
yes.
Yeah.
In Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just trying to remember the address. Yeah, I think it's 138. South Oxford in Brooklyn. And so I've done plays there before. I did my Fat Cow play there. So I like the setup and the people. And I'm going to be doing Old Fashioned Girl January 19th,
mm-hmm.
which is on a Friday at 7 p.m. So we're going to do a few shows from the end of January to the beginning of February at Art New York.
Okay. And yeah. Art New York is between what two streets on South Oxford?
I think it's Hanson Place.
Uh-huh.
And
Fulton?
And Fulton, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So with you being a poet and a short story writer, do you have anything that you'd like to read today?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
What is it?
Let me see. Maybe I'll read something that's been pretty popular. It's called A Blue Bicycle. A Blue Bicycle. Okay. A Blue Bicycle. This one fine day, I was passing along when I fell in love with a blue bicycle. This, of course, came as a total shock, because if you know me, you know I'm a pink person, pink all the way. Oh, I'm not totally pink and frilly, but there is no doubt about it. Pink and everything it represents is my thing. That's why when I found myself looking at that blue bike and admiring it, I was puzzled. Each day I passed that window, I found it more appealing. I envisioned what it might be like to actually take it for a spin. Then I contemplated returning it and wondered if I'd be able to. Could I perhaps purchase it and keep it? I wouldn't dare. Why am I not saying no? No way. From childhood on, I would have said no way I'd ever even sit upon a blue bicycle. Somehow, I noticed what a deep, pretty blue it seemed to be. How shiny the handlebars appeared, how strong the tires purported themselves to be, and what a seat. It was neither too high nor too low, plus it was the perfect width. Now I could really be quite comfortable on that seat. I sensed this bike would go at just the right speed, that it would last. It would give me many years of faithful service. Oh, wait, what if my strong tires go flat? Or if I lose control of the handlebars and land in a deep ditch? Finally, what would I look like? A pink person riding around town on a blue bicycle. What would everyone say? How totally out of place I would feel. The pressure and the enormity of it all would be far too much to bear. The idea that I had done something so unimaginable. How would I live with the thought? What to do? I know. Perhaps I could purchase two, a pink one and the lovely blue one. But how would the blue one feel? Would it want to share? Would it feel slighted? What of my imperfect self? Would I ride them both equally, impartially? Or would I favor the one over the other? Would I keep one down in the basement while the other sat upstairs next to the door? In my heart, I know the right thing for me to do is just get one bike. I'm a one bike person. And since I've always liked pink, then pink it is. I'll have to find a pink one. Hold up. You know, on second thought, I think it'll be easier if I just take my time and walk.
I love that. I love that so much. Thank you for sharing.
Well,
thank you. So, in fact, we have time maybe for you to read something else. Do you have a poem or something you'd like to read? I love that poem, Lola.
Thank you, thank you. It's kind of hard. okay, let me see. Maybe favorite seat. This one was kind of popular. Blue Bicycle is a little long.
I loved it. I loved it. I really did.
I made it into a story. I made it into a children's book, actually.
Did you?
Yeah.
And what is the title?
I think it's the same title, A Blue Bicycle.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I made it into a children's book. I could do something from Mom.
All right.
Or I could do something from... Okay, I'll do a short one from Mom.
Okay.
I love the baby. I love the man. It wasn't true. I love the baby, and it was pure. I love the baby, and it was pure. The baby loved me just as I was. The baby loved me just as I was. I loved the baby. He wasn't mine. I loved a baby. He wasn't mine. But there was nothing I wouldn't do. But there was nothing I wouldn't do. A stranger took him away from me. A stranger took him away from me. We were as happy as two could be. We were as happy as two could be. Last time we spoke, my babe was two. Last time we spoke, my babe was two. He said, "Goodbye, I love you." And then I knew. I may not speak when he is three. I may not ever speak to thee.
Very nice. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
So, Lola, it has been such a pleasure having you here, telling us about your writing experience and sharing some of your work with us. What I'd like you to do is just give us the name again of the two books that you've done.
Well, I actually did three.
Okay.
In Love, Poems for Us All is the first one. Poems for Us All. And then this second one is called In Love with Mom. And the third one is called A Fat Brown Cow.
Okay, and people can get them where again?
Something for Us. Something, the number 4us.com.
Wonderful. All right, thank you again, sweetie. And this is going to be the first couple of broadcasts coming up for my new show, and it's going to be called The Creative Force. And I'd like again to thank Lola. She's my first guest
in
this endeavor.
Thank you.
And the next couple of times, hopefully, we'll be interviewing the playwright. Not the playwright, the person who Lola had taken the poems from in terms of creating her play. So please look out for us again. Look out for The Creative Force. And thank you for being part of our show.